And Mr. Mazel Tov to Aaron this year. I want to thank Aaron and his family for sponsoring this year and this get-together. I want to thank Ezra and his family for pulling this all together and making it happen. I don't know who else was involved. I know Ezra particularly, I think the Sepplitz family in general, was very much behind making sure that this would be something appropriate. An opportunity for us to get together to mark Dani's second yahrzeit. Look around to see people who I know more or less. But we're all a chaver on many levels, but in part because our friend who will forever be 19 years old, we're all a chaver at some point in New York, in New Jersey, in Eretz Yisrael, in a camp, or some or all of the above, with our Dani, with our beloved Dani. Lag Ba'Omer, I personally think of Lag Ba'Omer as the yontif of Rabbi Akiva. I'm not a Mekubal. Post Gemma, page of Shulchan Aruch, Tafsadi Gimel, do reference Arvi B'Shem D'Arizal, that there's something special about Rashbi, who is a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva today. I'm not initiated. I'm not equipped to understand that myself. I certainly can't explain it anyone else. But it is clear that the post that today is a day of Rabbi Akiva. A day of Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara Yevama speaks about the incredible, unimaginable loss that Rabbi Akiva suffered. And we in the post-game say that Lag Ba'Omer marks the end of the passing of the first set of Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim. That's why the Rambam writes that the Avelos, 33 days of Avelos that end today. Today is the last day of the Avelos, Mitzvah Kukulo. The Avelos wrapped up earlier this morning. At the same time, Rambam writes, it's not just the end of the Avelos, there is some degree of Simcha on Lag Ba'Omer. We don't say Tachon, and that reflects a positivity. And I think the simple way to understand that is that today is the end of the Avelos of Rabbi Akiva's first yeshiva. And today, the simcha, that today also captures the day that Rabbi Akiva dusts himself off, picks himself up, dusts himself off, and start building his second yeshiva. The second yeshiva that changed Jewish history forever. As the Gemara points out, Yevamah Samach Beis. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Meir, Blazer ben Shamua, and as the Gemara says, our lives are profoundly shaped every single hour by them. Rabbi Leo Dordek points out 80% of name statements in Shas Mishnayis are from one of those Talmidim. One of those four, the first four, of Yossi, Reb Shimon, Reb Meir, Reb Yehuda, they profoundly shape who we are and what we are every single day. So the beginning of that was today. Today was David Kiva said, I'm going down south and I'm rebuilding. And Bechlau, as we know, Rabbi Akiva, one of the Rabbi Akiva themes, certainly, is an extraordinary optimism. And he's the one who's laughing when no one else is. The famous Gemara at the end of Masechet Matos. There are probably people here who remember better than I, but I believe that 3 years ago, Dani made his Siman Matos out of Pesach. Is that possible? I think. Certainly a popular Erev Pesach Siman, where the closing Agarata, where they're all crying, all the Hanum are crying when they see Yeshua and Ilchabal, and Rabbi Akiva is smiling because in that destruction, he manages to see an optimistic eye towards future Geula. And the end of Yuma, after the destruction of Beis HaMikdash, he says, Ashreichem Yisrael, Mikdash Yisrael Hashem, we no longer have a host of Kippur, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu will continue to take care of us. And more, and more, and more. Rabbi Yigal Ariel of the Golan points out in his Sefer on Tshuva, Erfum Meshuvasam, that at the same time, Rabbi Akiva is often, sometimes, also the one who's crying, surprisingly. Gemara says in Sanhedrin, in discussing different occult practices that Torah forbids, so Gemara says, Tafsamach, hey, a person can push himself in order to be mashra ruach tum on himself. Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva got to this topic, he started crying. Why did he cry? Gemara says at the end of Maseches Kiddushin that the Rebbe Akiva, when we got to the pasuk in Matos that talks about the fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu takes into account not just our actions but our thoughts as well, he started crying. Why was he crying? Because as the Gemara Sanhedrin highlights in particular, he saw intense positivity. If a person can push himself, can work himself to the point where he can bring down a Ruach Tumah, imagine what our potential is to bring down Ruach Kedusha. And he was crying, surprisingly, in considering the magnitude of our potential. See, he is a man of paradoxes, Rebbe Akiva. Sometimes he smiles when no one else is smiling. Sometimes he cries when no one else is crying. And then there's a third aspect of the paradox, of the uniqueness of Rebbe Akiva. And that's if you look at Mishnas Rabbi Akiva in Pirkei Avos, the end of the third parak. So there's a remarkable line that the Rambam has. In his Pirush on Mishnas, Akiva has a number of important comments, and he says, towards the end of Rabbi Akiva says, "Is Hakol Tapuy Varshus Nasuna." Everything, one of the paradoxes of Jewish thought, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows the future, at the same time, Rosh Hashanah, we have Bechira Chashas. So the Rambam has a fascinating line. He says this is an unusually deep Mishnah. It's fitting particularly for Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is the one who would say this. There's never sure what that meant because Rabbi Akiva lived the full range of his Bechira Chashas. He was a man who really lived his Bechira Chashas, totally turned his life around. Or it means because Rabbi Akiva was an unusually, even among the Tanoim, he was an unusually deep philosopher, unusually deep Mekubal. He's the only one, Gemara Chagiga, says who was able to get to a certain Madrega of a Parvez successfully. Gemara tells us in Shabbos and Menachas, when Rav Moshe Rabbeinu, Kadosh Baruch wants to show Moshe Rabbeinu what does a Shir look like in the future. Of all the 3,500 years or so of future Talmud Torah, Kadosh Baruch Hu picks Rabbi Akiva Shir. I don't know exactly what that means. So clearly, where Rabbi Akiva is one of the greatest of the Balei Masorah of all time. Rabbi Akiva is one of the greatest of Talmidei Chachamim, one of the greatest of the Mekubal, one of the greatest of the thinkers of our people. He's the one who could speak about such a profound, paradoxical topic. But he often saw beyond the obvious. He would smile when no one else understood why to smile. He would cry when no one else would necessarily cry. And he would see philosophical depth beyond what others would see. And when he cried, it was about human potential. When he cried, it was about, imagine, let's dream of what we could be that we're not yet being, that we could yet be. And it's fascinating, because the biggest paradox in a certain sense is that at the same time the Rebbe Akiva is the one who's working on this philosophical quandary, Hakal Tzafir Roshus Nasuna, how could it be? Profound question that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows the future and yet I have Bechir Chavshas, at the same time that he's thinking about philosophical questions, much of what he says is intensely practical. He's the one who recognizes, most of what he talks about is about practical steps of growth. That this will lead to that, that being quiet will lead to Chachma, that being more plugged into Masorah will lead to becoming a greater Talmud Chacham. We don't usually recommend Nedarim, but maybe in a certain situation, Nedarim or Siyag Mepreshos, to have an appreciation of how a Jew grows, to have an appreciation of how precious a person is. Chav Vadim Shinever B'Tzalam, Chav Yivin Yisrael Shinikr Banim Lamakom. If Lag Ba'Omer is a day for Rebbe Akiva, I think Lag Ba'Omer is a day to dig more deeply into this, into potential, and to recognize in our potential, which is certainly something that Rebbe Akiva kept, a very central part of Mishnas Rebbe Akiva, and to believe that we're capable of accomplishing more than we sometimes give ourselves credit for, and to believe that we are yet capable of accomplishing so much more than we already have, and to be able to balance. The same man who is the same Rabbi Akiva who's thinking, as the Rambam says, uniquely, he's uniquely fit, he's uniquely suited to think about these deep philosophical questions that called Safuya Shrisna Suna, the same Rabbi Akiva on the one hand can hold philosophical questions and can throw himself into practical growth and practical planning for the future. And can the same man who's dealing with profound philosophical quandaries can, in the previous Mishnah, talk about how special and precious we are. And how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu is invested in every single tzelem elokim, every single human being. How much HaKadosh Baruch Hu is particularly, uniquely invested in every single ben lamakom, every single member of Klal Yisrael. And that balance, I think, is incredibly, incredibly, incredibly important. To realize that we will have questions, and to realize that we invest in growing forward practically. And one is not a stira to another. And we will have questions, and there'll be times when we cry. And it could be people around us might not understand, not that we're having a drink, you know. But sometimes it could be on the outside. You feel bad, and you feel sad, and you know why, or you don't know why, and sometimes it may just be on a random day. And that's part of the picture. It's part of the same picture as a picture also of the greatest Rebbe Kiva, who cried sometimes when other people didn't see what to cry over, was also the greatest optimist of Klal Yisrael. He was the great optimist of Klal Yisrael. There's no stira between missing someone and living a life of simcha. There's no stira between sometimes thinking about knotty philosophical questions and living a life of growth and of practice, thinking about how am I getting to the next step and how am I going to celebrate the next step. I think the breadth of none of us is Rabbi Akiva, but I think Lag BaOmer is a day to appreciate the breadth of Rabbi Akiva and to appreciate that that's a model that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't just want us to be in one lane. It's okay to miss Dani, and it's okay to live a life of simcha. It's okay to miss Dani, and it's okay to not always feel like you're missing that. And it's okay to miss Dani, and it's okay to move forward. I imagine Rabbi Dakin and I have seen over the years, or last couple of decades, I think there's been a gradual shift in terms of how young guys are here in our yeshiva when they start to date. I think there will be a shift. Now is not the time for a conversation about what's wisest. That's obviously a very personalized conversation. You must have glad, I'm sure, to have that with you some other time. Everyone's going to make the right decisions for them. I imagine, and I'm not advocating for this. There's a lot to be said for waiting, for not rushing. But I imagine everyone will have to make their own decisions. I imagine between now and the next yard site, there will likely be guys in this room who will start dating. There will likely be guys in this room who will get engaged, who will get married, and we'll celebrate simchas. And we should not feel compunction. And we shouldn't feel wrong for celebrating simchas. We should not feel wrong for celebrating big picture simchas. We should not feel wrong for celebrating the simchas achayim, the simchas haTorah on a day-to-day basis. These are absolutely consistent. They're paradoxes, but they're not contradictions. And that, I think, is one of the greatest lessons, one of the greatest lessons of Rabbi Akiva. And part of the way that we do that, I'll end with two final comments, looking at the Mishnas Rabbi Akiva at the end, towards the end, the third paragraph of Avos. Right after Hakol Tzafui or Shus Nesuna, this philosophical quandary, he immediately jumps into something profoundly practical. Hakol Lefi Rov HaMaisa V'lo Alpi HaMaisa. Hakol Lefi Rov HaMaisa. What does that mean? Hakol Lefi Rov HaMaisa. It's one of the very enigmatic lines of Pirkei Avos. Different compartments with different approaches. The Rambam talks about it being repeated acts of chesed. Rambam famously writes here, and posts some quotes off the stock a little bit, that I have $20,000 to disperse to tzedakah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bless me. I have this amount that I can give to help others. So the question is, should I give one big massive donation, one big check, $20,000, or should I give 200 here, 500 here, and 100 there, and 75 here? And the Rambam writes, either way, you may be giving the same total value to aniyim, but it's repeated smaller actions, each one meaningful, But repeated actions will shape who I am. Repeated actions will make me a generous person. And to be there for each other, and often in small ways, not just the, today's a big day and it's important for us to get together as a chevra. And this is a part of the avodah. But a big part of the avodah is going to be the rov ha'maisa. It's going to be being there for one another, being comfortable reaching out to one another, and reaching out if I need to talk, and reaching out if I think someone else could use some chizuk. I know some of you very well. I know some of you not as well. All of us share dhani in common as a friend forever. If I can ever personally, if I can be helpful, I've had conversations longer, shorter, morning, afternoon, and night with some of the people in this room past. And they should never feel achrai to reach out. If ever I can be helpful in the next day, the next week, the next month, the next year, beyond, please, 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 please feel free to reach out. I am certain that I hesitate to speak for other people, but I am certain that Bacon feels very much the same way. And even more so, to reach out to each other and to support one another. In big times and little times, and something is confusing, just so I'm feeling like I have a lot of different feelings all at the same time going on, a lot of ambivalence. So share it with someone else. To be there for one another is key. And I close, even though hopefully this opens more conversation, but I'll close these our joint exploration of Mishnas Rabbi Akiva on the day of Rabbi Akiva. Is the last of the Rabbi Akiva Mishnayos in the third parak of Avos, a very, very elaborate mashal from life. Talks about life as a store, people are going shopping, and Kadosh Baruch Hu is a shopkeeper, and we're the customer. Very elaborate, the mashal about the ins and outs of life. And he ends by saying, Hadin din emes, the final line, Hadin din emes, the din is true when all the pieces finally settle. Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Kelim Unavein, Avel Tzadik Yasharu. The Chumash tells us Parsha Tzadikim. Hakadosh Baruch Hu was just in the long run. Have Hakadosh Baruch Hu's calculations all add up. Everything is right and good and true and just, even though in the moment it often does not look that way at all. The Hakol Masukin, second last line. The Hakol Masukin Lasuda. The Kiva ends by saying, and everything ultimately is prepared for the Suda, which Ram points out means that the end of the story of our lives, ultimately, the long, long story, is Tchiyas HaMeisim. And we absolutely, getting together at Yahrzeit is often an important opportunity to reinforce our Emuna in Tchiyas HaMeisim. Mishnah says in Sanhedrin, that's one of the Ikari Emuna. The Ram counts it as the climax, the 13 Ikari Emuna. We believe the Emuna Shlema, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us through Daniel, the way he intimated to us through Moshe Rabbeinu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu plans in the future to Va'achras HaYamim, to perform an ace, totally super rational ace, and to bring the dead back to life. We believe that Emunah Shalema in Tchiyas HaMeisim, and we believe the very end of the story that Dani will be back. Dani will be back as Daniel describes the very end of the Sefer. And it's important to put that into the perspective which Rabbi Akiva does. That's the last line of that Mishnah. The vast majority of that Mishnah is about the ins and outs of living life in Olam Hazeh properly and well. And I think that's an important perspective with which to wrap this up. We absolutely believe in Tchiyas HaMeisim. We absolutely believe in Adin Din Emes. And those are important things. Those are ideas that are part of the foundation of the way we think. And at the same time, our focus is and ought to be from the healthy, holy perspective that Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to have is primarily Hakol Nosim Be'Rabim, primarily in figuring out Olam Hazeh. Kadosh Baruch Hu put us here to live in the here and now. Kadosh Baruch Hu has, in Mirat Hashem, many, many decades of expectations for each and every one of us. And Kadosh Baruch Hu looks forward, as Rabbi Akiva points out, Kadosh Baruch Hu looks forward to us living life to the fullest, to living life with simcha, to living life with ambition, to living life with chesed, taking care of one another. And yes, As Rabbi Akiva said, there are also questions that are on our minds sometimes. Absolutely. Absolutely. And we carry that, we give it its focus. And at the same time, our focus is on the here and now, supporting one another as we move forward, and hopefully move forward in a way that's inspired, as Aaron was talking about, to continuing to grow in a way that's inspired by Donnie's model, and to continue to grow in a way that Donnie's model inspires us to be even better versions of ourselves as of Avdei Hashem. Once again, thank you so much to Aaron and to the Tigmans. Thank you so much to Ezra and the Supplices. Thanks so much to each and every one of you. It's helped me to see each of you. It helps each of us to see one another. And we should continue to get together. We should continue to enjoy and celebrate each other's simchas together. Baruch Yom Mishap. Shukran Achav.